Imagine standing in a valley filled with dry bones, no life, no hope, then watching God breathe a nation back from the grave. Ezekiel saw it in a vision. We're watching it unfold in our generation, from the Holocaust horror to Israel's rebirth in 1948. God's faithfulness is written in history and in Scripture. So what does that mean for your faith, your future, and these last days? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. And it is Old Testament Tuesday. What a great day to dive into God's Word. We're looking at the Old Testament so that we have a foundation to look at the New Testament. We want to encourage you, if you enjoy Old Testament Tuesdays, to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW, or FPIW Action, thank you so much for your monthly support. It really does help us accomplish our goal, which is to change our hearts so that we change the public square. All right, we are in Ezekiel chapter 37, the Valley of Dry Bones. To set a little bit of the context, we know that in May 14th, 1948, Israel was reinstated as a nation. Well, what motivated that reinstatement of Israel? We know that the Holocaust, murdering over 6 million Jews, led them to come back to their land and to reassemble as a nation. They had been scattered for a lot of years, some would even say maybe thousands of years. And so we see that this is a prophecy of that return to the land of Israel. Let's start in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley, and it was full of dry bones. Look at that verse. Here, could you imagine God's hand being upon you and you having this vision, and he brings you out in the Spirit of the Lord, and he puts you into a valley of dry bones? Now, that would be a little bit creepy, you might say, but God is telling Ezekiel a story. He's allowing him to foresee the future where Israel is reinstated as a nation. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. So isn't that amazing that God shows that Ezekiel this Holocaust in essence? And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Now, we can have a practical application of this, that when God asks us a question, a great answer is what Ezekiel says, "Lord, only you know." I don't even want to attempt to answer. My fault would be is I'd probably try to answer God. And God's like, you got it wrong. But, you know, We see that Ezekiel says, "O Lord God, you know." Again, he said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life." So before May 14th, 1948, Israel had been scattered among the nations. The Holocaust had taken place. Many, 6 million Jews were murdered. And we see that there had been a lot of desperation and lack of hope in the Jewish people. And so when they came back to their land, which is just a sliver of a portion of what they're supposed to have, that we see that Ezekiel is seeing that. And it says, "I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord." So one of the things when we see Israel today as Gentiles is that we should see that this is a proclamation that God is God. Israel is a testimony of God's faithfulness to his covenant relationship with his people. So I prophesied as I had commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones were coming together bone to bone. Can you imagine seeing that, what Ezekiel saw? "And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life." Wow. I can't imagine the vision of Ezekiel, but he really was seeing what we're experiencing in this generation, right? May 14th, 1948, we're still in that generation. People about that age would be about, you know, almost 80 years old at this point. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Wow. So Ezekiel is seeing where we are today. Isn't that powerful? And then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. See how we don't have to try to figure out the meaning? The Bible actually tells us what it means. This is the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Could you imagine going through the Holocaust? I would imagine that you would be hopeless as well, and that you'd feel completely cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. So that is one of the key elements that we can see that this is Israel. First, he says, behold, it's about Israel, the whole house of Israel, but bringing you back to the land, which is in Israel. All right. Now, this sliver that they have right now is a small portion of what is actually their land. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened up your graves and caused you to come out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land, on your who, what? Your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. Did you notice that? Bring back to the land, on your own land. I will place you on your own land. This is where we are today. It's amazing because we are seeing the very truth of God's word play out right before us. So now we're going to see one more element of this. Remember, there was a northern and southern kingdom of Israel prior to Ezekiel going into exile. So the kingdom had been split, but we're going to see what God prophesies and foresees would happen. The word of the Lord came again to me saying, and you, son of man, take for yourself one stick and write on it for Judah and for the sons of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel, his companions. So there's two sticks. One stick's Judah and one stick is the stick of Ephraim and all the house of Israel. Then join them for yourselves one to another into one stick, that they may become one in your hand. Okay, so he takes the two sticks and he brings them together as one. When the sons of your people speak to you saying, will you declare to us what you mean by this? Say to them. So he tells us the understanding. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim and the tribes of Israel and his companions, and I will make them and put them with it, with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they will be one in my hand. So let me ask you a question. When you look at Israel today, does it have a northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, or is it one nation? It's one nation. Say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations. Okay, they were scattered where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. Here's like the fourth time, I think. Into their own land, into their own land, into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land. We see this in front of us. Do not be ignorant of this very fact that Israel is chosen. They're one nation in the land. And I will make them one nation in the land, in the mountains of Israel, and one king will be king for all of them. And they will no longer be two nations and no longer be divided into two kingdoms. So is Israel right now divided into two kingdoms? The answer is no, it's not. It's one. The very fact, A, that Israel is a nation, B, that Jews were returning to the land, C, that they are one nation, was all prophesied in Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel saw this hundreds of years prior to it taking place. So they will no longer defile themselves with their idols or with their detestable things or with any of these transgressions, but I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. So it's a beautiful statement that we're seeing here. Ezekiel 37, After May 14th, 1948, we saw them come back. A nation was born in one day, and it's been one nation under God. My servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd, and they will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and observe them. They will live in the land that I gave to Jacob, so Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, my servants, in which your fathers lived, and they will live on it, they and their sons forever. And David, my servant, will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. Now, we haven't seen the sanctuary set yet. So here's a little bit of a future thing. There's still a mosque on the Temple Mount, but he says he'll set their sanctuary in their midst. My dwelling places also will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people, and the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. Okay, so some of this has a little bit of millennial kingdom kind of language in it. So here's what I'm here to tell you. I've been asked, are we living in the last days? I believe yes. Ever since May 14th, 1948, we have seen these last days coming together. The nation of Israel is no longer two kingdoms. It's one nation. We're seeing them being brought back to the land from all the places in which they were scattered. And so we're living in this time of Ezekiel chapter 36, 37, and it is an amazing time to live. So what should our outcome be? One, we should pray for the Jewish people to come to know Yeshua as their Messiah. We should pray that Israel will come back to the saving knowledge or come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's important. Remember, God has a nation. God has a church. Why? Because God is sovereign. He can have a nation and a church. It's not a problem for him. Number two, we should pray for all the Gentiles who are going to call upon the name of the Lord, that they will come to repentance and know that Jesus Christ is Lord. We should share our faith. We should be motivated because the coming of Jesus Christ is very soon. He'll come in the clouds to get his church, and then he'll come with his bride to the house of Israel in the final days. So I hope you're ready. I hope you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just turn to you, the living God, and we ask that Jesus Christ would be our Lord and Savior today. God, we confess Jesus is Lord, and we believe that you raised him from the dead. And so, God, we can be saved. God, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace that are on us, that are new every morning. Go before us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now get out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.